The moment has come. It's the moment that Jesus has tried to warn and prepare his disciples is coming. It's here. It's the moment that Jesus has been fearing for a while. He is riding into Jerusalem. He knows that he is riding on to die a horrible, painful death. I think that he is scared, and deep down inside, he is wondering if he really needs to make this journey to Jerusalem. How many times during our lives have we had to ride on to someplace that we really, really didn't want to go? Having to deal with serious mental illness, having to deal with a major change in our living situation or the living situation of a loved one. A moment of major surgery for ourselves or for our loved ones. Dealing with major illness, again, for either for ourselves or for a loved one. Dealing with the loss or the imminent loss of someone that we deeply, deeply care about. At times like this, we can feel so incredibly alone. No caring, no hope, only despair. No one is going to help me. And we feel like we need to deal with things all on our own. I think this was the place that Jesus found himself. He knows what's going to happen, and I think he may have been trying to work out, as we all do, how to put everything in place to allow him to do and to go where he needs to go. And I think he probably couldn't put all these pieces together and see this nice, clear path forward. So I think he just decided to start, and to a certain extent, just to see how things went, to see what happened. So the first thing that he had to think about was, how was he going to actually get to Jerusalem? He needed to get there some way. He had spent most of his ministry walking places, so he could have walked to Jerusalem. But I think Jesus, thinking about what was coming, was both physically and emotionally drained and tired. So the alternative is he needs a ride. So he sends two of his disciples to get a young colt or a donkey that has never been ridden. And we've all seen young colts. We've all seen donkeys. They are not the nicest looking creatures that God has made. They're not very big. They're ornery. Don't necessarily want to do what you want them to do. And this is what Jesus is going to ride into Jerusalem on. Has anybody here ever ridden bareback? on a horse. Is it comfortable? Not really. Why not? Why is not made? Yeah, you got that little thing called a spine down the middle that kind of presses up into your sensitive areas. With horses, you've got the withers up front that if you are of the male persuasion, you can make yourself very uncomfortable, shall we say. So the disciples take and throw their cloaks on the back of this donkey so that Jesus can take and have a comfortable ride into Jerusalem. And as he is going along the road, people begin to come out to the roadside. They've been told for centuries that Messiah is coming. Messiah is coming and he will save us. And because of what Jesus has said, what Jesus has done, the miracles that he has performed, the comforting words, the challenging words that he has said, have led many people to believe that Jesus was indeed the promised Messiah. And so they begin throwing their cloaks on the ground for the donkey to take and ride across. They start waving palm branches and putting them on the road again for the donkey to ride on. They are doing this out of respect and out of praise. And as they're going along, the people and the disciples begin loudly singing praises to God for all that they have seen and all that they have heard. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heavens. And once again, all this commotion. I like what it said in Honest Questions. All of this going on really ticked off the Pharisees. And they asked Jesus, "Jesus, would you please tell all of these people, just knock it off. Just stop." And Jesus gives the familiar response, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." So, over the past 5 Sundays, including this one in Ash Wednesday, we've been looking at how we strive for perfection in our lives and how we fail miserably at it. We have seen, and hopefully you have picked up, that we need to make the transition to accepting a life that is good enough is indeed good enough. Hopefully we've seen that perfection is impossible, but transformation is possible. And by the way, transformation, it's a group project. It is not something that we can take and we can do on our own. We need the help of our friends, our families, our church community, and our God. Let's go back to Jesus. He's riding in. He knows what's going to happen. Imagine again how he's feeling. He's probably anxious. He's probably worried. He's probably depressed. He doesn't want to go. He's feeling hopeless, helpless, not knowing how he would be able to handle what is coming. He needed help to get where he needed to go and to do what he needed to do. He got help from the disciples in going and getting the colt. He needed help to have a comfortable ride where the donkey's spine and withers were not poking him. And he got encouragement from the disciples and from the people lining the road, all praising God and recognizing that Messiah had finally come. And I believe that it was this encouragement that he received as he was coming into Jerusalem that gave him the courage to move forward, the courage to remember why he had to do what he needed to do. It gave him the courage to face utter humiliation, physical pain, emotional pain, and yes, my friends, even spiritual pain. More on that on Friday. I want you to think about a time when you were facing a situation that you needed to deal with but didn't want to. Did you ever really go through it alone? You probably tried to, but I bet you struggled. More than likely, you were supported by your family. You were supported by your friends. Hopefully, you were supported by your pastor and your church. You were more than likely supported by medical and other professionals who had more experience helping you to understand what was going on in your life and how to handle it, how to get through it. Now, I believe that God can take and directly intervene into our lives and give us hope, give us peace, give us what we need to get through whatever it is that we need to take and deal with. But in many cases, God does not choose to act in that way. He chooses to help us out by placing people in our lives to help us get where we need to go. We are a group project. Life is not meant to be lived in isolation. We need people. We need to be open to receiving and giving support. We need to be receptive to the support that people are willing to give to us. I know that the prevailing thinking is, y'all should be able to handle this all on your own and get through it. That's a lie. And we need, when someone offers us help, we need to set aside our pride, our ignorance, whatever it is, and allow that person to help us in the way that we need. And we too, and this is maybe a little bit more difficult than receiving support, we need to be willing to give support to others as they are going along life's journey. We need to totally realize that perfection is impossible in our lives. It's a nice goal. It's a good motivation to improve ourselves, but we are never going to make it to perfection in this life. However, transformation, transforming our lives in such a way that we can live life to the fullest, that we put aside the desires that everything has to be perfect. That, my friends, is possible. And we need to realize that indeed we are all group projects. And by realizing these three things, transformation is possible, and that we are group projects, that's the only way that we're going to achieve a life that is indeed good enough. Today, I conclude this series on the good enough life. It may come up again during Easter. We may get a spattering of that. I trust that you all have enjoyed these last couple of weeks. I hope that you've learned something. And I hope that you will take all of this to heart and remember it as you go about your good enough lives. Amen.